How about them tops, son?
All day.
SEC boys.
SEC. They supposed to be SEC. Crazy all day, baby.
You're listening to the Red Out Podcast.
Welcome into another Red Out Podcast. I'm Jake.
Hey, Devin in the house. Welcome to a new year, guys. And we also have Ross. How's it going, buddy?
Doing great, especially after Saturday, guys.
Seriously.
I mean, that just makes the whole, it's a whole new year. New year, new world order, whatever you want to call it. This is awesome.
I like that. Can we call, like...
Yes, this is the new world order. That's what it is. I have to make a note of that. If I can write.
Yeah, Devin also, like me, has terrible, terrible penmanship, so...
You can read it.
You can't read mine, no.
Yours looks like a calligrapher for a courtroom. I mean, that's all I've seen. That's special code.
That just means you can't copy my notes, like... Yeah. No one can cheat off my paper because they can't read it.
No.
It's excellent.
Unless they're blind.
Or, you know, a little...
Or nursing majors.
Dyslexic.
Pharmacy majors might be able to read that, because they can read doctor's notes. So, I guess we'll start off with winners and losers. My obvious one is losers, New Year hangover peeps.
You know, I don't even have one this year.
I don't have one either, but winners, old people.
Why old people?
Because they went to bed early and they woke up and they're just like, whatever, it's a new year, so what?
Survived another year.
Exactly. I respect, like, my grandparents. They do not stay up to midnight. They're like, it's going to come anyway. I'm just going to wake up and at midnight, whatever.
Dude, I'm here to tell you, my wife last night went to bed.
Yes.
But was like, hey, you have to wake me up at midnight so we can have a New Year's kiss. And I was like, so wait a minute. You're going to go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to stay up an extra 2.5 hours because we're old people who go to bed at like 9:30 or 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you expect me to wake you up. So yeah. I just watched the new Ron White special and was like, okay, fine.
Whatever, Tater. That's awesome. I guess the obvious one from this past week, Wisconsin loser, Western winner.
Yeah.
Which...
Screw them cheese-eating, ranch-drinking, mole people. Yeah,
Tunnel Bob.
Dude, seriously, though, how great is Tunnel Bob?
I want to say, first off, somebody commented on your piece and was like, oh, it's so funny, and I was like, So...
Somebody said something. Since I didn't post it, I didn't see any stats or comments.
Matt McKay was talking about it. He's like, oh, it was so funny, blah, 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 blah. So, bored one day, I was just sitting there on the pot doing paperwork, and I was like, hey, let's see what it is. So I started reading it, and it's really funny, so you guys should check it out on Towrack, and you can have a nice laugh, because we did win, so it didn't matter.
Exactly, and not only, see, we can make fun of them,
exactly,
and feel good about it, unlike some of the other ones where I repeatedly make fun of people and then we lose.
Yeah, but you get your jabs in, that's all that matters.
I pulled no punches on the Wisconsin one. I was kind of nicer to St. Mary's because I have nothing against the Gales, and they have a really cool mascot, but, or at least they do now, they used to not. But yeah, no, that's what we're going to talk about today. It's pretty much a basketball-centric day because there's nothing else going on. We're not in any bowls or anything.
No,
Stanford. So,
yeah. So I guess we'll just talk about Wisconsin.
How much they suck?
Crazy atmosphere. The attendance is estimated at 76-14. We're supposed to hold 73-26.
Yeah, it was standing room only.
So supposedly. Fire marshal, don't show up, dude, because it's fine.
It's fine. He was probably cheering too.
Probably right.
I was there, guys. It was awesome. Best I've ever seen there, and I went to the Marshall game and a couple other big ones last year, but it was great to see, you know, all red in there. I mean, even like the couple Wisconsin, but like, you know, like, being the same day as the UK U of L game, I think I might have saw like only two or three people even wearing UK gear, which was shocking to me. So
yeah, typically the blue gets in
the local ball and green people. So
yeah, I think you're gonna have that everywhere, but I still love the fact that it was all red. Well, obviously, because
it's Wisconsin.
They're red, too. But, you know, it's fine.
Our red is better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Bowling Green crowd, and it's a top 20 team. Wisconsin was 15th. How far did they drop after that?
I actually haven't checked the AP standings.
I haven't checked
either. They're still in the top 25. That's all that matters. So.
That's right.
Hey, that's a great win. I mean, it helps Western's resume. I mean, sadly, they need all the help they can get. With losses to Missouri State, Indiana State, and Central Florida.
Shh. Those things didn't happen. Those things, the coach said it's a brand new season, guys. Didn't you hear him in that really cool video they posted? It's a brand new season.
Sure.
Just saying.
So I've come to the realization that, you know, our at-large is pretty much doomed unless we ran the table in Conference USA. I mean, if you did that, you'd finish, what, like 25-6 or something like that. But if we do win the conference tournament, all these wins that we've stacked up, we're going to get like an 11 or 10 seed or something really good that's going to give us have a shot to win a couple games in there. So we get in, you know, even though we're frustrated by those crappy losses, we're, you know, the wins are going to outshine that when it comes to comparing us to Murray or Belmont or whoever.
So. Absolutely. And I mean, talking about kind of the March chances, I firmly believe at-large is completely shot. When you're a group of five school who is not a, you know, perennial like power six, power seven league, right? The bad losses, I firmly believe, hurt you more than great wins help you, because you don't get the benefit of the doubt that a lot of perennial powers do. So if a let's so
for if instance, we were sitting at 9-3 right now, or let's see, we're way 13. If we were sitting at 10-3 right now, I affirm, and you erased all those bad losses and had all these good wins, we would have an at-large shot. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. If it wasn't for the three bad losses.
We just don't have any margin for error.
No, and we don't. And I was actually thinking about it there. It's like, okay, we're sitting at 7-6, so it's a 13 game. So how many more games does that leave? Is it 17-ish games, the 30-game season, right? How many can you afford to lose and still be seen as, like you're talking about, that 10, 11, kind of 12 seed line if you were to get in? And then you start looking at, okay, well, let's say it's not double-digit losses. Let's say we stay out of double-digit losses. So could you go through 17 games and only lose, you know, say three of them or four of them? Is that feasible for the Tops?
Three games is, I don't know. It's pretty tough. I mean, especially with North Texas sitting at 13-1 right now.
I will believe North Texas when I see them in conference.
Yeah, I'm kind of a show-me person, too, and them being from Texas, you know, everything's bigger there, but
it's okay. Here's my only thing with North Texas, like we talked about in the chat. Any team that's only lost one at this point in the season is they're good. I'll give them good. That's fine. How good? I do not know, because the only team they've actually played that's like a proper Power Five, like a real team, they lost. Now they were able to beat Indiana State, which we weren't able to do.
Now, okay.
Oklahoma was the team that, they lost by 16 to them. So,
right.
Yeah, they lost Oklahoma. They beat Hawaii, which they have to import basketball, so that's understandable.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they beat Maine. And like you said, they beat Indiana State. So, I mean, and they threw up 103 against Rice, which I don't know how Rice is.
I assume Rice is bad.
They're 5-9, apparently.
I assume Rice is bad.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the Wisconsin game. What are some takeaways that you guys had from it? Ross, you want to go?
Yeah, since you were there, buddy, sure. We'll let you talk about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've got about three or four that I really want to hit on. First would be kind of Bassey's play. I mean, he was very efficient looking at the stats. I think he only missed one field goal the entire day.
Yep, 7 of 8.
I mean, you had another big – he shows up when he needs to. I mean – every time he plays, it's a big quality big man. This time, you know, All-American candidate Ethan Happ. He goes for 19 points, 4 blocks. I mean, he just dominated the inside. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 for 5 from free throw line. I mean, he was just amazing. And, I mean, that was the first time I'd seen him in person, first time I got to see Western. His leg, his knee is a different, like, I don't know if it's been cupped or – it looks like his knee has a giant bruise on it still, and he's just wearing a little rubber band on it. I mean, it's amazing how much he shows up when the opponent's the biggest. The thing is, can he show up when you don't have Wisconsin or Arkansas or whoever on your schedule, and you have to, oh, come on, FIU. I mean, that's what I want to start seeing from him, some more consistency against our lesser opponents.
Now, I definitely agree with that, and he has shown up. It's almost like when he has a challenge, he takes it seriously and plays hard. But if he sees it, I mean, like they said after Troy, I mean, they literally just were like, we took it for granted, we're sorry. Which I appreciate, the honesty. But at the same time, it's like, man, just when you guys get your stuff together, you absolutely are a force to be reckoned with. And that's kind of what you know, Stan said after the game, he's like, look, we got glimpses of how good you guys could be when you had your stuff together against St. Mary's, and we got, I think his term was, we got an eyeful of it against Wisconsin.
Yeah. Completely agree. I mean, they show up for Arkansas, West Virginia, you know, those big teams in Wisconsin. I mean, and it's like, we need you to show up for
the Charlottes,
ODU, you know, Missouri State, Troy, like you were talking about. And I think Troy was probably the lowest point this season.
Yeah, so far.
Knock on wood.
In the first season, because now there's a second season. It's brand new. Everything's reset.
It's a new world order. Yes,
new exactly. world order.
Well, to go back to the game, some other people I really wanted to hit on. Welcome back, Jake Omer.
Yeah, right?
Jake's got to stick together.
He did exactly what I think his potential is. I don't think he's ever going to be a starter anymore. He's ever going to be a star or whatever. But you can depend on him to play 5 to 7 minutes a game, hit one or two big threes, and not screw up. Not have your play drop off whenever Banton's not in the game, or if Hollingsworth or Anderson need a break. You can put Jake in there, and, you know, just know that you're going to get some solid play. And, you know, I think the crowd went nuts when he hit that three. It was amazing. And that block was awesome.
I was about to say, and he's going to get a block every game from now on, right? Like, he's going to block other small white guards?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get in is great.
That, exactly. Well,
well, the thing is that we were complaining is they weren't extending that bench, and it was the most frustrating part. And you could see, like, why aren't you benching Hollingsworth when he's having a bad game? And, like, why aren't you extending the lineups where you're playing more of the hot hand instead of, like, living and dying with bad shooting performances?
Yeah, you have to trust your bench when you've got the players. I mean, we've talked about Omer kind of getting, either he's got confidence issues or maybe he feels like he was recruited over or whatever. But we've seen if he gets a shot, honestly, he can still play and provide valuable minutes. Like I said, even if it's just to get the team and the crowd back in it, or to provide a breather for, say, you know, a Banton or a Hollingsworth or whoever, he just needs a shot.
Yeah. I mean, he got in there for 16 minutes, looks like. But it still looks like Stans wants to. He's got the hunk of the team getting. He's got five guys. He's going to get the majority of minutes to, basically.
And I mean, that's not uncommon.
That's fine. Yeah,
I'm good with that. It's just, and it seems like, I mean, you can't really complain with this because they beat Wisconsin. So it's like, you know, maybe this group of guys is what it is, where it is. So speaking of that, how big a loss is Merrick Nelson?
Meh.
Minimal.
Meh. You guys have.
I mean, I think he's an energy guy. He's not gonna be one of those who pouts when he doesn't get the ball and score. And I mean, he's proven, like, okay, he'll hustle for you. But I mean, I set the over under at 2.5 games. Him being out, maybe after seeing this, maybe Stansberry really makes an example, puts him out for 5. But who knows? I mean, hopefully he comes back focused, and, you know, the message is sent. I mean, I think the real person we all got to be excited about after Saturday's win is Banton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Banton was, you can see the last two games. He went from Washington where he was allergic to defense pretty much most of the season. But he couldn't even string together a pass without turning the ball over or anything like that. I mean, he was 2 points from a triple-double. Was it 13 rebounds, 11 assists?
Yep.
I mean, he was just, I mean, You can really see that his height. I mean, he was pretty much playing the point guard on offense and the four on defense. It was amazing to see.
Well, do you think his, like, improved defensive production in this could be related to going to man, so that he doesn't necessarily have to understand the switching of the zone?
I could see that, and I could see that they're trying to switch him off of the smaller guards that are just going to be able to run around him, because obviously with that new height that he has, that he's not completely used to.
He's a baby deer out there.
He just doesn't feel confident in front of those smaller guards.
I just think it's funny when you say he has new height. It's like, what's he on stilts? What the hell's he on?
Yeah, those are actually not his real legs.
Those are not. Those are completely synthetic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like the Anthony Davis situation. He went from like 6'3", 6'4", to like 6'8", 6'9", and like last year or two. So like he went from just being a normal guard to like a 6'8" point guard, which is just crazy.
Yeah, sorry.
It does give you kind of, your center of balance is different. I mean, it is a weird thing. I look for Banton to continue to improve. For me, the things that I really thought were amazing was, one, overcoming the Wisconsin smothering defense, because they'd only been allowing 61 points per game up to this point and had wins over the likes of ranked Iowa. So that super duper impressed me. I think ball movement had a lot to do with that, and being able to get the right guys in the right position. And then actually playing defense. I know that the Badgers scored about what they normally do, but that normally wins the game for them.
Yep.
But Western was able to, and I'm not sure what it was about playing man defense, but they were able to keep the distance in themselves and were able to play three-point defense, which something they have not been able to do all year.
Yeah.
And I know that Wisconsin came into this game shooting 40% from three, and they ended up holding them to the high 20s from three-point range. I think Davison had a lot to do with what they were able to score, which we can get into Floppy McFlopperston in a second. But that was my key thing, was they sat down on their assignments and didn't allow them to take advantage of the three, which probably led to the win. So they were able to get, Happ, even though he wasn't as efficient.
23 shots, though. They made him earn his points.
Right, exactly. He wasn't as efficient as he normally is. He still got points, but when
that's... Neither Price either, yeah.
Yeah, but when him... Yeah, that was a key thing. Davison perked up a little more, and I don't know if that's because he responded well to all the boos, which, by the way, how awesome was that? Because we weren't there. Was that great, just hearing people curse him the entire game?
it was great, and then it was how long can they sustain this? It's not he was a guard, touches the ball so much, it kind of became hard to sustain. When he airballed after the boo and all that, it was awesome. But, as the game got by, it kind of got a little tedious a little bit, too, just to keep saying, just keep booing this guy who's going off, who ended up going off for 26 against you, so.
Yeah, he got his, but like you say, when him and Hap aren't super, of course, I actually don't know how efficient Davison was, but when the bulk of your points come from two guys and they don't, hit you for 30 apiece, there's not a lot they can say. Even if they have a good game, the rest of your guys were single-digit scorers. So, piss off?
Well, yes and no. Even if you look at our numbers, we didn't have 26 by any means. We had 22 with Hollinsworth and 19 with Bassey.
Yeah, four guys in double digits.
Yeah, but that's 16, 15.
Anderson, all 15 and 16. That's everybody pretty much, nutted up and played, pretty much up to their potential. You just saw guys, nobody was really forcing shots. Nobody was, Hollinsworth just lived off that little, drive to the basket, step back jumper that's probably his best move. It was just amazing to see all the balance with the scoring, too.
I think my biggest shock looking at the shot chart here is there was only one three-pointer made on that left wing, or the upper wing if you're looking at it, and that was by Pretzi, and that guy wasn't even a starter. He was just on the bench.
For Wisconsin, yeah. Yeah. That's wild.
That's just
to be able to deny him, yeah, on that right side of the wing. Yeah, it's crazy.
That wing was done, whoever had that side. But,
whoever locked him down. And that's another thing. I will say that I do not, and I don't think we should as fans, expect the level of second half performance that we got night in and night out from the Tops. I think that is I don't know if it's a ceiling, but it's darn near close to it about how well they can play. But I do think that first half-ish, only being down four to one of the best teams in the country, I think that is a nice median level of play that fans should expect night in and night out from the Tops, whether home or away, aside from maybe one or two clunkers that they put out there. And I think that level of performance is good enough to beat the rest of the teams that they play, and frankly, most of the teams they'll see, even if they get to the tournament, to be perfectly honest with you.
It's a maturity issue. The complete issue with this team, with last year's team. With the 2018 team, it's a maturity issue, obviously, because either you look at teams and you say, psh, why do I have to prepare for them? It's Troy. But I think the second half...
I hate to say that, as talented as they are, it's all freshmen and sophomores for the most part. If we look across the thing, Savage is a junior, but
But, I mean, him and Bearden are vocal leaders.
Anderson freshman, Bassey freshman, Bam freshman. I mean, that's a lot of people, a lot of lower classmen that, you know, it's taken time to gel, and it's been frustrating to see, but when we're on.
Yeah, and this is, like, the most exciting and equally frustrating Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of team. And it's like, God, but that's the thing. And that's kind of what I said, I think I said it in the post once. It was, we cannot change the crappy losses. They're here. No. Our record is what it is. The resume is what it is for the non-con. So all you can do is go and get the best conference tournament seeding you can get, and then try to, you know, win a couple games in a row to get in the tournament. That's what they, you have control over that. Now go do it.
I think, yeah, exactly.
You want to know what blows my mind?
What blows your mind?
This is only our second winning streak of the season.
That does seem odd.
That does. I agree with that.
Yeah, we won UT Martin to West Virginia for 3 in a row, and then we alternated losses, or, you know, had 2 losses in a row. Beating St. Mary's in Wisconsin was the first time we put back to back wins on the board. I'd say we played 5 great quarters in a row, or great halves in a row, starting with the second half of that Belmont game.
Well, there goes Charlotte.
Yeah, right.
Now we got Charlotte. What's going to happen?
God, I just...
as superstitious as I am, we're screwed.
It's like we're hosed. Everybody, sacrifice those chickens. Say your rain prayers, whatever you got
to
do.
Do the little snake against the locker, Major League style.
Absolutely.
Love that movie. I think we'll have... with the momentum coming out of this Wisconsin win, if you come out pumped and not overinflated ego, I think you can take Charlotte and ODU very easily.
ODU's pretty good.
ODU very easily at all. But
ODU's pretty good.
Charlotte, yes.
Charlotte's like 3-8 or
ODU
something.
ODU is, okay, I'm sorry, they're 10-3.
Yeah, ODU's, so yes, us, okay. Old Dominion, and North Texas are kind of, right now, seen as kind of the better teams. UAB also up there. We'll see what Marshall looks like.
Marshall is right with us, basically. So that could be a really good game.
That'll absolutely should be a good game.
And that'll keep the rivalry going for another year.
Especially because they're in the middle is completely gutted.
Let's just hope that we get the last second shot this year.
I don't want to come down to that last second shot.
I agree, but...
I want to win the conference finals by 30.
I watched a little bit of that Marshall-Virginia game yesterday.
Oh, God. You haven't seen it? Have you seen that? Oh,
and,
man.
You can tell Marshall really misses Pineva, their big man, that, you know, basically, if they're not hitting shots, they don't play enough defense, and their guards don't carry them. So, like, basically, if Western comes out and is ready to lock down on defense, I'm not as worried about Marshall as I was coming into the season.
So, Devin didn't see the Virginia debacle that Marshall said. I mean, I didn't see it either, but I saw you guys mention it, and... So Virginia, just in case you're wondering,
there's a really good team.
No, they're an excellent team. They're really, really good. Even though they lost to UMBC, whatever. Yeah. They routinely only score like 53 or 55 points and win. They're known as a super duper heavy defensive pace team. Yeah, like, and he's looking at their stats now or their scores now. You see, like 60, 60, 50. But they score. I think this is the first time they've scored 100 in Tony Bennett's career, and or it, at least with Virginia, and it's like, holy crap. Like,
yeah, I'm averaging the points right now, just in case you'll hear me, my phone clicking.
You can probably click on it if you go to their statistics up there at the top.
Oh, you suck, dude. Just let me have my math.
That's fine. No, so I think that, you know, we can just put a bow on the Wisconsin. It's an excellent victory. It was a well-balanced thing. Defense stood out to me. And hopefully we can go, you know, into the conference not with our head up our butts.
I would like to see us come out towards the top of the conference. You know, not win out, because that's kind of unfeasible.
Yeah, it's like that.
But I think it's a possibility to come out towards the top. And depending on how the cards fall, I mean, you might could come out first or second conference. I mean, of course, they were predicted to win the conference, and then that kind of got pulled pretty quick. But, you know.
I'd say talent-wise, we have the talent to win the conference. It's and we've already shown we have the potential to do it. It's just, can we? I mean, looking at the standings, we said North Texas, but we know they haven't played anybody.
Yep.
And we've got Old Dominion, who plays that Virginia slowdown style. We handled them 3 times last season.
Yep.
So, you know, I think, you know, we take care of business against Charlotte on Thursday, and, you know, as long as old, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde didn't show up, that I don't see that being a problem with their rebuilding style. But Old Dominion will really be a big bellwether game for us this Saturday. I'm just convinced on the road. If we win that, we're turn the corner, we'd be on a 4-game winning streak, and then we can really just say, okay, this team has been through some stuff, but let's turn the page and we're going to establish ourselves. So we'll see.
Okay, so just kind of looking ahead here, Western is predicted to win by 87%.
According to the BPI.
According to, yes. The ESPN's BPI Basketball Power Index, we're supposed to win. So that's positive.
I mean, yeah, Charlotte's not a very good team. But I will say, I want to kind of retract a statement that I was going to make fun of them for losing to, like, Charleston. Because what the hell is Charleston? But apparently they're, like, really good and have some wins over, like, some great teams. And they're going to win their conference and, like, be a tournament
what
team.
What is Charleston's mascot? That's what I want to know.
Who knows? I don't know.
Cougars. Now I got to look this up.
What is it?
Cougars.
Cougars. Do you just know that off the top of your head, Ross? It's kind of sad, but...
Or did you just make that up?
Oh, ask my friends. I'm the king of useless knowledge.
The king of useless knowledge.
Congratulations, he was correct.
Nice, yeah, the Cougars.
Which is awesome.
I mean, Cougars are awesome. I agree.
Charles.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Looks like got a score update for you, Kentucky fans. Looks like the Wildcats beat the Nittany Lions.
They held on. Only tinkled a little bit down their leg, not a full-blown urine stream, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a 27-7 lead and held on to 27-24 and ran out the clock. So
the first time...
That's their biggest season in 4 years.
Yeah, first time they've had 10 wins in 40 years, probably.
This will be the best UK season that our lives will see.
Oh, no doubt. Easily, yeah. I mean, I'm completely happy for Kentucky because if football is good for Kentucky and Louisville and Western, then it's good for the state. I mean, that's my
outlook.
I'm just
interested to see what happens to them when Josh Allen's gone. I mean,
he's of their defense.
Best player I've ever seen.
Josh Allen is
for
a beast.
Them.
What's that?
Josh Allen is a beast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He is a legitimate D1 prospect. I mean... And it's funny that Kentucky ended up with him. I mean, because Kentucky, historically, is not a place that athletes like Josh Allen go. Josh Allen typically...
Well, he was only offered by Monmouth, I think.
Really?
He was just like a basketball player. Yeah, he was a diamond in the rough that only had... His sister played basketball at U of L, Maisha Hines Allen, but he only had an offer from Monmouth and developed into just a stud just because he had the size and obviously the heart. It was amazing.
That's pretty wild. That's a fun tidbit, as I don't really follow Kentucky's.
I think it's
sports.
Funny though.
I didn't know Hines Allen was his sister.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Why is it telling me that again?
Gotta
looks
love
like Benny Snell has broke the all-time rushing record at Kentucky too.
All right, enough Wildcat talk.
How'd that UCF LSU game go?
LSU pulled away. Yeah. They were up 40 to like 30 or something. But it's still going on, but
it's pretty much over.
It's
right?
Pretty. Yeah,
UCF just doesn't have the horses.
I always go for the little guys. I think it's funny how I would love to get to the A team so we could just, you know, the stars aligned. Western ran the table and it's 40-30 with 2 minutes left. But
yeah.
You know, just give the little guy a shot. I mean, everybody was excited about UMC beating Virginia in basketball. Why don't I give, you know, the G5 a shot? You know, even if there's a sacrificial lamb, 9 out of 10, they still deserve, you know, if they lose, you know, 29 times out of 30 and they win that once, how big a deal would that be?
Oh, absolutely. Well,
in the words of Jim Carrey, there's still a chance. I mean,
so you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly. So I hate to kind of railroad the talk, but March... Is it too early to talk March or what?
It's never too early to talk March.
No, I mean, it's the best time of year as far as basketball goes.
It's my favorite sporting time of the year. There's nothing like the NCAA tournament. There's not a thing. And like we said, look, right? Unless a miracle happens, Western's not getting an at-large bid, so they have to go win the conference.
Yep.
And I think they have a
Frisco, baby.
Frisco. God, what a... Ross, how do you feel about that tournament setup?
I hate it. but actually, I think it's cool, but it's basically to put it in an area where none of the good basketball fans of Conference USA can get to.
So my,
like, it's in a cool building, it's cool everything else, but like, when you think of the basketball schools in Conference USA, you think us, you think Marshall, you think UAB, well, none of the West Division teams really move the needle when it comes to passionate fan bases for basketball, or even history. UTEP's the only one, and they're 10 hours from Dallas. So, like, what are you doing?
My main problem with it is the setup.
Yeah.
It's set up like an AAU tournament. There's a curtain between them playing on, like, two different courts at the exact same time. When I found out about that last year, like, when they went, because last year was the first time they've done it that way. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a freaking joke.
They're in Birmingham before.
It's like, what? What are you doing? You seriously, you're treating them like a bunch of 16-year-olds that don't know how to play defense. Blows my mind. Is an absolute. See, I'm a lot stronger on this one. I think it's an absolute travesty. I think the conference is stupid for doing it that way. I mean, the only thing I say is it probably saves money, and they're so cheap they don't want to spring for letting them go, you know, in different buildings, or at least with more than a curtain between them. Like, are you kidding me? It's like a really bad hospital wing. Like,
yeah, the curtain is what makes
it's
me
an
say
absolute.
Ghetto.
It's an absolute joke. It is an absolute joke. Ross, do you know of any other conferences that do that?
No, I mean, I've seen Western play in Hot Springs and a ballroom, but they played their main. They had two different things, and they played their main games in an actual arena. Went to the thing in Birmingham a couple years ago. That was an easy try. I'm just mad because it's a lot harder for me to get to.
Well, yeah, I mean it just seems unfeasible for Western fans to go to that game.
Any actual basketball fandom is not going to go. And I mean, the crowds at some of these things are already pitiful.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even when the Big Ten did, like, so the Big Ten's doing theirs in, like, freaking New York. They bounce back and forth between New York and Lucas Oil. It's like, you realize no one in New York even knows this is going on. Everybody was like, oh, it's a great atmosphere. I was like, no. No, the lower bowl was a great atmosphere, but you guys are playing in New York when real stuff's going on. Like, nobody cares.
Exactly.
Like, play in Indianapolis where people actually give a crap about you. Or, I'm a fan of, like, NIT-style stuff, man. Like, I know it's over the course of weekends, so that's not really feasible. But you want to make the regular season. If you're not going to make the regular season champ the actual auto bid, you want to make it, like, the seeding really matter, not just, like, one bye against a crappy team. Put some home seeding on it. So, 1 and 2 get home games. Or, you know, 1 gets to play it at their arena. Or, like, close to them, like you do with a regular regional. Like, then you're talking about the season really mattering.
Yeah, I mean, that could be really cool with East-West, and then, you know, then whoever has the best record gets the final game or whatever. I would rather do that scenario than do the Dallas curtain ghetto setup, because I think Little League teams do that, you know. I mean, that just sounds,
even they get their own fields.
Yeah, I mean, they even get their own times to play individually. But it just sounds really bad. And even if you did the first, you know, say East West, do it, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, final on Monday or whatever. I mean, feasibly, that could be really cool.
Literally anything is better than what they do now. Literally.
Exactly.
Well, the biggest problem is the conference is so spread out. There's just really no good spot. I just say you cater to your bigger fan bases that actually care. So,
yeah,
sorry,
gonna make more money.
Sorry, Russ. You don't get a vote.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
you suck anyways.
I mean, even for instance, like, let's just say the season ended today. You've got North Texas, which is Denton, Texas, which is like right above Dallas. And then, you know, have
North
the West
Oak, Virginia, and Bowling Green, Kentucky, the three top teams.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got ODU, so everybody goes to
Virginia,
which is fine. I'm fine with that. All the East goes to Virginia, everybody else goes to Texas, and then you know, whoever wins out, so since North Texas has a better schedule, you go to Dallas or Denton or wherever. I'm fine with that.
Or if nothing else, you know, try to split the. Just don't put it in Texas.
Memphis would be fine.
I always loved Nashville as an idea, but they could never pull it off. It was annoying to me.
Yeah,
I always thought Nashville would be great.
Yeah, it would be really good.
Yeah,
but
hour away would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for Western fans, it'd be great.
It'd be real red.
Yeah,
and middle fans and UAB fans, and then, you know,
no,
at least it's a destination.
We always forget about Middle because they're the back fat of Murphy of Nashville.
Straight so. Ditties.
Well, I mean, they don't have fans too, but still.
Yeah, until they want to complain to Western fans. Yeah. But March. I mean, Duke's probably going to cruise, don't you think? Or do you think they're going to have issues?
No, I mean, I think
they'll lose a couple.
Yeah, everybody's. I mean, they've already lost. You know, to the Zags and
yeah, which
is that their only loss?
I think so. That's what I'm kind of trying to pull up real quick.
But I don't know. I mean, as far as the actual tournament goes, I mean, it's always a okay. Here's your blue buds spread across the you know overall top you know 16 seed your first four, and then the rest of it. I don't know.
Yeah, Zags.
Yeah, it's their only loss. I think it would be funny to finally see Virginia do something in the tournament just because they're so hilariously bad at choking in the tournament when they win the regular season.
Dude, are they like, does Peyton Manning donate to them? Because he's the only person I've seen choke worse than anybody.
I mean, a little bit of Tony Romo, maybe.
Maybe, but he's got back issues.
And shoulder issues, yeah. And hip issues. And he's more machine than man at this point.
Peyton chokes so much he has neck injuries.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to
break the streak. I think that would be fun to see. Even though I hate watching them play because it's the most boring style of basketball. Boring. It's like that's one of the things that made me sad about. I hate saying like I love Chris Mack to death at Louisville, but he also plays a very slow down, at least defense wise, like pack line style of defense. And you're just like, man, he's going to control pace and he's going to win some games, but it's not as exciting as like smothery passing lane defense.
I mean, you almost want, like, as bad as it sounds, and I hate to say this because I hate Duke, they're exciting to watch because of R.J. Barrett, Zion.
Sir Dunks a lot of
them. Yeah, I mean, he may weigh 295 pounds, but he's still
one of the best. I'm so tired of people making fun of his weight. Like, you know what? He's that heavy, and he dunks from the free throw line. Imagine if he lost 20 pounds.
Dude, I'm not making fun of him.
Well, no, but I mean,
I'm fat. I can make fun of fat people. Okay?
That's true.
So
it's true. Big
you
guys
can't
can make
say anything about it. It's like black on black. You can't do that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm completely fine with that. I mean, who says he's not pulling like a Dragon Ball Z and like takes off a belt and it weighed like 95 pounds? I mean, who knows?
That just completely went over Ross's head. That would be so funny if it turns out he had like 15 pounds in each shoe.
Yeah, and he's like,
and he takes them off like for the tournament, and it's like, yep, he just done it from half court. I don't know if I've never seen that.
This
what
is
happened?
Like Michael Jordan in Space Jam. What's going on out here?
He's got the special sauce. He's got the magic stuff.
Oh my gosh. So I mean, it's kind of short, but.
Well, I mean, it's a short week. It's been the holidays. Yeah. I don't think we have to go forever. Do you guys want to talk about kind of the best stories from this year?
Yeah, I'm completely good with that.
Ross, let's let you take over since you penned the wonderful article about it.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of, you know, just some year-end wrap-up pieces for the website, and got me thinking, like, what were the top stories for WK fans in 2018? I kind of think this year was, or 2018, I guess last year, now because we're January 1st, but this year was kind of a transition year. You know, whether it be, you know, women's basketball losing Michelle Carter to Cincinnati, and now we're obviously struggling to Cincinnati start with the Collins Cup, where we, you know, obviously the football team going from, you know, so many bowl appearances in a row and all that, and then, you know, and then basketball, we're trying to see if we can transition from, you know, we transitioned from perennially losing to that great NIT run. Now we're trying to see, you know, if we can take that next step. So I think this year was really a year of transitions, and had, you know, five stories that kind of pointed that out. So,
I'll let Jake go next. He's got a list, actually.
Well, yeah, I actually did, because I didn't know if we were going to go this way or it's just our kind of our favorite memories from the year. And for me, I kind of went one, you know, 3-2-1. And it does follow yours, kind of. My number three, like, most exciting story was the Helton hire. I thought it was a good hire. I still do. I'm very excited to see what the team does next year, the recruiting to continue to get better, that sort of thing. Number two, obviously, that was the Samford fire, as bad as it sounds. I was real excited about that. I was happy. You're never happy to see your team suck, but you are happy to look at what you consider to be the root of the suck. to be pulled out. And then my number one, kind of we talked about, you know, before we started recording, was Bassie's commit. I was, like I said, I was in Lexington. I wasn't paying attention to the news. And a buddy of mine calls and was like, oh, yeah, Charles Bassie just committed. And I was like, no, you're lying, or that's a fake Twitter that you're following. He's like, no, dude, it's like all over the news. Get on your phone. Sure enough, I did, then danced around my hotel room for like 20 minutes before going out to dinner with my wife because I was so pumped because Mitch Rob burned us.
Yeah.
And I did not think, I thought it was all smoke. I didn't think anything was going to happen until it did. And looky here, he got cleared and he's playing and a major contributor. And also, my favorite story to read, which not many of you did, and I will hold it against you forever, is my assessing the adversary for Valpo, because that thing was so damn funny. Like, the Orville Redenbacher and all the poop jokes I made are perfect for our demographic, and only like 200, not even 200 people read, clicked on that, and you all should be ashamed of yourselves, and you should go right now and read it, even though it is in the past, because it is funny as crap.
I think that's been a great addition to the website, and kind of what I wrapped up in that other piece I wrote, Most Viewed, is, you know, this year was just a big year for the website when it came to growth. You know, adding this podcast is a partnership, and then, you know, we're up to seven writers, seven different unique views or voices. You know, there's a lot of stuff that drives the bus between the recruiting, the, you know, the hot take, like thought pieces, like the utter disaster piece, or the,
yeah, it was good.
You know, Sam's letter about Samford and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there's even just, you know, just weird breaking news that, like, people, like, just love. I mean, I can see that, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably reading the website. And if you're reading the website, you're a diehard fan. And I can just see we're on the verge of something big here this year. And it's exciting. I mean, obviously, you know, we're mid-major school, but it's just cool that we've got, you know, a group of passionate fans that, you know, care if they're really our stuff. So,
which it is super awesome. You know, some of my friends were complaining about their Twitter experience. They're like, man, you know, people are just so angry and I hate Twitter. And I was like, dude, I love my Twitter. Like, it's the same, you know, 50 or 60 people talking, and it's a really good, like, group of vocal, like, fans. And it's like, I mean, we won't talk about the Facebook group. Sometimes there's some people that may have interesting and dumb opinions.
Yeah,
but it is really awesome to be able to, like, this is a space where I go and everybody is a Tops fan. Everybody is rooting. You know, we're all going in the same direction, even if we have differing opinions. And, I mean, I started reading the Towel Rack while I was in law school because I had been on, like, Underdog Dynasty quite a bit, but their coverage kind of tapered off, like, after my first year, like, 1L year for, like, topper stuff. And so, I don't know if it was Fletcher that I clicked on, or, like, how I found it, or if it was suggested when I started, you know, my first Twitter. But I was like, oh, this is a website that, like, actually writes stuff all the time. And, like, even back then when I was just, like, I would, like, randomly tweet at you guys because I was like, I need more topper content because there's not enough out there. And I think that's what the Towel Rack's doing now. I mean, how many articles to get put out, like, during a week? I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually at least seven, at least one a day if you kind of average it out. Obviously, this time it's been a little slow, but, like, you know, I got to thank Fletcher for coming up with that idea and, you know, driving the buzz. And
absolutely.
Kind of giving us all our own control to kind of make it, you know, each of our own little thing, too. It's like, you know, I always just like being the voice of the fans. I don't really want to be, like, a part of the media. I think, you know, we can say stuff that, you know, Brad from the Bowling Green Daily News can't say or Chad couldn't say. It's like, we can call out a coach when he sucks. We can call out, you know, players when they're being dumbasses and getting DUIs and everything like that. And, you know, that's what fans want, I think, at the end of the day.
We can talk about Tunnel Bob and make fun of people from Wisconsin for mainlining cheese and snorting ranch powder.
Yeah, I mean, my experience, I'll tell you this, Jake and I, when we first started this, we were trying to come up with a name, and we were bouncing a lot of ideas off each other, and the Towel Rack came up, and it was like, oh, that is such a sweet name. Yeah, man, if we'd have just thought about this, you know, a few months ago, blah, 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 but, you know, it, like you said, I mean, we are really glad to have been brought on board because it kind of helps us because, I mean, usually it's just, before we came on board with Towrac, it was just us bouncing ideas off each other, and, you know, it's a really small room.
Yeah,
when you have two people talking about it. So, but it's kind of fun when, you know, the guys from Towrac and us start talking about, you know, the goofiness that we talk about sometimes, you know, bouncing ideas off each other and saying stuff. So
but seven people are smarter than two, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we have a lot of different views. We have different
attitudes about stuff.
We have different attitudes, and you
I
know,
hate everything.
Yeah, Jake is Jake is a very what's the word?
A
negative
Nancy.
I'm
a contrarian. I just
curmudgeon.
Yes,
I'm a curmudgeon. Yes, I absolutely am.
See, I try to be a realist. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. We had a little debate.
You like the green?
Yeah, I do agree with people because I'm kind of non-confrontational with things.
He is a very agreeable person.
But, like, my thing is, the only thing I really try to stand up for people with is when some of these kids do something really stupid and people like to bombard them and say, oh, well, that was stupid, that was stupid. Yeah, it was stupid, he made a mistake. But because he's in such a spotlight, you know, it seems to get hammered on him a lot more.
Oh,
as
dude,
to
we've all
made
done
mistake.
Some real stupid
yeah.
stuff.
And if
there's just
you,
not a camera on us all the time.
Exactly. And if you had been on this under the spotlight as some of these
oh,
kids,
man.
Say Merrick Nelson or some of these other athletes that got in trouble this past
four months
or whatever, it would be really hard.
Right.
And that's why I try to give these kids an extra foot. You know, give them a little bit because it's like you got to give them a little bit. You know, give him a little more rope. You know, he is under a spotlight. Yes, he made a mistake. But how many kids are arrested for marijuana or drinking or whatever, DUI charge? And it may probably just get dismissed and he'll get probation for it. I'm just hoping he doesn't ruin his life with this stupid consequence, this stupid choice that he made. But, off of that tangent, my favorite stories... I've only got two written here. Is Mike Sanford being fired? Not because of him being fired, but a regime change needed to happen because we were not progressing.
Right.
I hate it for the person. I hate it for his family. I hate it for his kid. Whatever, you know. But that's the lifestyle he signed up for.
Amen.
When he wanted to become a coach. If you wanted permanency and somewhere to stay full-time, you could teach, you could do a factory worker, you could do 100 different jobs, and you would stay in the same general area. I hate it happened to him. Coach Sanford is a great guy. I'm sure his family is going to land on their feet somewhere. Congratulations to him. My top favorite story, which was more of a footnote, really, than a top story, was... the players drafted Mike White and Iggy.
Yeah, it was cool.
I love it when our guys go to the next level and succeed.
And are contributing, like, actually.
And Yelder was a free agent, right?
He was for a while. I actually don't know where he settled on. He may still be on, like, a practice.
He's on the Chiefs now.
I was going to say.
He's at the Chiefs? Okay.
But he's on their active roster.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I love that. Because that dude, I love Deion Yelder. And if you listen, buddy, we'll have you on anytime you want to come on.
Absolutely.
But... I always loved it because, I mean, it was one of those passes that when Mike White threw over the middle, it was like, you know where it's going.
Yeah, and you know he's going to catch it.
Mike White threw a bird box pass every time, and Yelder would pick it off.
Yep. Didn't matter.
Of course, has anybody else seen that movie?
Bird Box? No, I read the plot, and I was like, and hard passes.
It's actually not bad.
It's not my style.
Yeah, I know, but you get bored some night, and you might be drinking or something, just... give it a shot.
You know what you all should watch if you get bored and you want to be depressed for a little while? The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I watched it.
I like that movie.
You like that movie?
I liked the first part, the singing cowboy. I thought it was hilarious.
The singing cowboy was so funny.
Yes, it was.
But I will just go ahead and tell you guys, if you're watching, if you don't like being...
Spoiler alert.
If you don't like being sad, don't watch it. There's a lot of sadness, but I thought it was...
Well, it's a Coen Brothers movie. Everybody dies.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so... spoiler alert, if you have not seen this movie and plan to, turn us off now.
Right, because we're not going to talk anything meaningful the rest of this.
No, but my issue with it... okay, so Ross, you've seen it too, right? Have you seen the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay, so the final story they tell, were they all dead?
I thought they were, but I don't think so.
That's what I was wondering.
They were made it seem like in the whole thing
yeah.
that... oh, we're like retrievers. We're like of souls. We're like,
we're bounty hunters, basically,
essentially of souls. And so I thought that's what it was. I thought they were taking them to hell. But
yeah, and then
and then they actually like pull the dead body off, like, drag it in. I was like, oh.
So maybe it's not. But what killed me with the whole thing was, is they're trying to get the guy to stop, and they're like, he doesn't stop. And I was like, I was like,
it's like crossing the river Styx. That's what it is. He never stopped. I mean, it very clearly, that's what it was supposed to be. But no, I mean, my saddest thing was that poor girl shoot herself in the face.
Yes, that I was about to say that one next.
That was like that one was probably my favorite.
That was such a cool story, and then
that's my thing. It was my favorite because it was so historically accurate.
Yeah,
like the way they talked to each other and the way that, like, the inn at the beginning, how they all sat there and ate, and it was the whole thing. The guy fake killing the dogs. I'm pretty sure he didn't actually want to kill the dog. He like told her.
What's so funny though is, of course, I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, is he really gonna kill that dog? What a ass.
That was the thing. I was like, oh man, the dog's gonna die.
He's gonna kill
and
the
he's
dog.
Like, ma'am, it just ran away when I went to shoot it, but he probably won't be around very long. And then he barks the whole
thing. Even the name of the dog, President Pierce. That, like,
yeah, President Pierce. He's a fan of President Pierce. Like, what kind of
dog? Who names their dog President Pierce? But what I thought
Lincoln
was,
I get. Yeah. Pierce?
Yeah, well, of course, that was Prairie
you
Schooner
never know
Days.
So. What year it was.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually, like, I think Pierce might have been the current president.
So. Yeah, it was probably pre-Lincoln.
It was two post-Lincoln, maybe, no? Because it went Johnson, Grant, so it was, like, three after Lincoln. You're talking, like, 1880s. Sure. But still, like, we ain't licked yet, and he's killing all the commanders. She's like, yeah, go, this is freaking great. And then she shoots herself in the face, and I was just like, man.
Well,
I wanted that happy ending so much
for her, and then of course it was.
What about
like,
the prospector one? I thought that one actually had a decent.
It did. That one and Buster Scruggs were the only two that had like proper happy endings.
Yeah. Well, Buster Scruggs really wasn't a happy ending.
He's going to heaven, even though he just viciously murdered 30 guys.
But he had a code of honor. I think is what kind of set him apart from other killers.
I just love the way that he talked the whole time.
And what killed me with him is he thought he was...
The guy who killed him was the guy from Old Crow Medicine Show.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Explains why he sung so pretty.
That's right. But yeah, that is...
I did love that. I enjoyed it. I watched that. Sarah stayed home. She didn't come back because I had to work Christmas Eve half day before I came back home. So she just stayed with her family that weekend. And so that was the time because... I knew she wasn't going to watch it.
No.
So my wife don't want to watch it. I hate putting in the headphones and just sitting there.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I stayed up way too late watching it, though. But I watched it over the weekend. I was like, man, this is awesome and viciously depressing all at the same time.
It was, but it was really good. It really well written.
It was just well done. I love The Prospector.
The Prospector
was
was one of the better stories.
Didn't hit nothing important.
Yeah, when that dude shot the Prospector, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I was like, that
little son of a biscuit.
Yeah,
you know,
I was so sad.
But great stories.
So go watch that, guys. It was really good.
Yes, please don't let us spoil it for you. Watch.
So did you turn around on that, Jake?
About what?
Did we turn your opinion around on that? Because you, when we started this conversation, you're like, man, that was very sad. Now you're like, it was actually pretty good.
No, it was so it can be both, I believe. And usually I don't like those.
Can be both, yeah.
But I typically don't like stories that make me feel bad. But I think it's almost like going to the dentist. Like sometimes you just need to feel bad so you can feel good.
Yeah.
And I typically hate depressing things, but that one was so well done and just so enjoyable that even in the depressingness of it, because it was, I remain unchanged. It was a severely depressing set of stories.
But that's life.
Exactly.
I mean, even in the Old West, and that's what I thought captured it best, is that it kind of told the story of some people that lived out there and the choices they had to make and some of the hardest choices you had to make because eating a bullet is...
I was kind of hoping he would bash the guy's brains in with a hammer, though. That's instead of shooting him in the face. That was kind of what I was hoping for.
As soon as he got popped with that, I was like... with that axe or hatchet or whatever you want to call it, I was like, oh, crap. I was like, oop. And then, of course, you're like, I was like, she shot herself. I know she did. As soon as that dog's barking, I'm like, yep, because she would have smacked that dog with that gun or something.
I was like, man, that was so bad. Oh, we lost Ross.
Why does this always happen?
Literally every time, guys. Ross, get your stuff together. Oh, still accepting it.
Yeah.
Things are happening. Technical difficulties. I'm not the West Texas crooner of Buster Scruggs, so I cannot sing well. Nor do I participate in Old Crow Medicine Show, so I also cannot sing well.
Yeah, whatever.
Sing loud.
I'm not a typical person that likes those sing-along shows, so.
I know, but what was it good?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just like sing-along shows, like La La Land and all that crap. I don't do that. I just.
I like La La Land. It was pretty.
My wife loved it. I did not watch it.
Ross, have you seen La La Land?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
The ending I didn't really like. I thought they could have. I don't know. But other than that, it was okay.
Yeah, we should start a film review
podcast. That's what we should. We should just, you know, just carry it on into the next.
Yeah, right. Ross, you got anything else, bud? I'm out of takes for the week.
Just Happy New Year. You know, glad to be part of the podcast every once in a while, guys, and keep up the good work, and let's beat Charlotte and Old Dominion and get, like, re-geeked out about this team. I think the number one thing is, okay, we went from to the lows, probably after that Troy loss.
Yep.
Now let's put it together and let's get everybody like excited again. Like, let's take what we did with Wisconsin and build on it.
Absolutely.
That's all I got.
Yeah. And let me do this little plug real quick, guys. If you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to like, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes, and follow us on Podbean. And always remember that we will try to put out as much content as possible weekly. We try to do at least one show a week, unless some crazy news comes up and we do will do a reactionary quick podcast for you. And we do the clips, because sometimes these shows go for about 55 minutes currently. So, you know, I know we understand that you can't listen the entire time. So if you want to listen for 20 minutes here and there, we completely understand. Currently, we are sitting at over 600 downloads.
Really?
So, yes. Sweet. Yes. So, fun fact for you all.
Subscribe.
Yep. So, like and subscribe, and check out the Towel Rack for more content daily.
And, you know, if you feel real frisky, put $20 in the envelope and mail to us. That'd be fun, too.
Yeah. I haven't turned on the Patreon because,
yeah, you know, actually don't do that, guys. You're not supposed to mail cash. I was just kidding. Don't actually mail cash.
Gift cards or
Amazon gift cards and checks.
You can send us checks. Yes, we're fine with that.
We're 97 years old. we use checks.
Yeah, I told somebody the other day, I was like, checks is a sign you're old. If you write more than like 5 checks a year, you're old.
I'm still working off a book of checks from U.S. Bank from like 7 years ago.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I got one from 10 years ago, and I still haven't gone through it yet.
And my Fort Knox ones, I think I've used 2.
That's hilarious. Okay, guys. As always, love talking to you guys about sports, and go Tops.
Go Tops.
Go Tops.